Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
Disney Plus wants to know, are you ready? Yes! For Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts, the new Avengers, now streaming on Disney Plus.
Let's do this.
One of the best Marvel movies of all time is now streaming on Disney Plus.
Hey, you weren't listening to me.
I said Thunderbolts, the new Avengers is now streaming on Disney Plus.
Meet the new Avengers.
That's a cool name.
Marvel Studios, Thunderbolts, the new Avengers, rated PG-13. Now streaming on, you guessed it, Disney Plus.
Represent a country, then bbisn'tboring.com. We have all kinds of merch, baseballs and boring merch, and the crazy, crazy hot hats that Joe's talking about. Joe Kelly, of course. The Joe. Everyone wants the Joe. You're going to have to go to the website to see what I'm talking about. All right. It was a crazy, speaking of crazy, it's a crazy day. Sunday was a crazy day for me. 6.5 hours on the radio talking about baseball. I'm not complaining one single second. It was easy in a sense because you're staring straight ahead. You're just watching a baseball field. In this case, I'm at JetBlue Park in Fort Myers, Florida, watching the Red Sox Orioles. So I did the Baseballs and Boring radio show like we do every Sunday, 10 to 1, and then jumped right into doing the broadcast with Cooper Boardman for the Red Sox Orioles game. And yeah, it was a lot of hours. It was a lot of minutes. It was a lot of time. But it went by quick, man. It did. Because it's easy. We're just talking about things that we like talking about, which is what makes this podcast so easy to do. I'm going to be honest with you. That's what makes it so easy to do. It's the easiest part is just talking to people, talking about people, whatever it is. And in today's podcast, I sit down with a couple people that St. Louis fans might be very familiar with and Boston fans are just getting familiar with. And the two guys who were traded in the offseason, Sonny Gray and Wilson Contreras. The first part is the longest part, and that was with Sonny Gray. And we talk a lot about his evolution, like his love of spring training, how he treats spring training, why he didn't play in the WBC, how he views his career, how he views his future, and some really fascinating talk about his love of trees. He's an arborist. And a little behind the scenes, I only knew that because I said to Joe Ryan when I talked to him, hey, tell me a little bit something to talk to Sonny Gray about. He's like, talk to him about his love of trees. So let it be said, let it be done. I did. So after Sonny is Wilson Contreras. I caught up with him for a few minutes to talk about something which I had been wanting to talk to him about, which was how he viewed himself in regards to how teams view him, players view him, because he is the guy, there's always guys like this in sports, guys who, if you're on the other team, you're like, oh man, I hate that guy. But if you're on his team, oh man, I love that guy. And that's sort of like how Wilson Contreras did, which I find awesome because in this day and age, the baseball world, it's too much of the we all get along kumbaya. It's you're there to win. You're there to win the game. Anyway, We'll get to Wilson in a little bit. But first up is Sonny Gray. Both of these, by the way, both of these interviews were done in Clubhouse. So if you ever hear any little bit of background noise, it's not much, but just to let you know. All right, here you go. First up, Sonny Gray.
So I wanted to talk to you about a couple of different things. Number one, so we talked a little bit the other day about you pitching and the value of spring training and saying, hey, you know what, the value is being here, not WBC. So just take me through a little bit of, if you can, about how you see spring training and how the value of being with this team right now leading into this season.
For my own personal, you know, perception or my own personal, like, you know, for me, I think it's just valuable, new team, getting to know everyone, but also like everyone else getting to know me. Are you asking like the difference in like not doing the WBC?
Yeah, I mean, you had the chance to do the WBC, but like you said something just then, like I'd even thought of, like you're thinking of not only you getting to know everybody, but everybody getting to know you. Nobody talks about that, right?
Right.
Them getting to know you, what you like to do, like
right.
All that. So,
yeah, I have been told that I am a fairly intense person. I don't know if that's the word or just a blunt and honest person is kind of like my assessment of it. I think it is important for me to get to know everyone else, but I think it's just as important for everyone else to get to know me as well. I do believe that. I also like know myself and I know like how I am as a competitor, and if, you know, and I still have to do a very diligent job in spring, no matter how good I feel, of being able to take my days and maybe not, even when I get in games and get in lives and even bullpens, for instance, of not revving my engine up too quick, too soon, too early. And I just know like how I am as a person and how I am as a competitor. So for me, like if I was to go pitch in a highly, highly competitive tournament in early March, I know I would be all systems go. And I just don't know if that's beneficial for me individually, this just because of how I am. Some guys may be able to fluctuate that and kind of live in that gray area as a pitcher where you're being ultra competitive, but you're also like working on things and you're not going to push it too hard. I just kind of know myself, and that's like very hard for me to do. So I just felt like if I was to get the opportunity to play in the WBC, I think it is more important. Individually for me, like this is a better space for me to get ready for the season than doing something else.
How is this different? You've been through a couple different teams. How is this? Every team is different. Every philosophy is different. The evolution of baseball is different. How has this spring been sort of different for you, or anything? Whether it's learning, whether it's adjusting, whatever it is.
So the familiarity with the area is similar. I know the area from when I was with Minnesota for a couple of springs here. A locker room is a locker room. Once you get on the baseball field, that's all the same. Once you pick up a baseball and once you start throwing, that's all the same. The flow and the structure is always a tick different. But once you get adjusted to how it works and how it's run, that's a little bit easier because now you understand how you understand the flow, you get into a flow. You have to be adaptable, like me, have to be adaptable in order to go with the flow at times, but also know, like, if you get too far from one thing, like, okay, this is what I know that I need to do for me on an individual level to get myself ready or to do that. As far as the adjustment, the guys have been awesome. Seems like a great group of teammates, a great group of just guys in general. You know, you just got to find your people. And
but again, that's what spring training for. I mean, that's what it comes back to.
Correct.
Like, the more you're talking, the more I'm like, there is so much to do, which would be very difficult to do if you weren't here for 2 weeks.
Correct. You know? Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, how are you energized like now? Like you clearly love pitching.
Yeah.
You clearly love doing what you do. That's being around you. The little time that I have, I see that. And are you like, is this the time where you're energized, where you're like, oh man, I love this. I love talking about it. I love the idea of competing. I love the idea of the season not being a month away. Are you energized right now?
I mean, I guess as you ask the question, I get goosebumps. So, I mean, I guess the answer is yes. I love my time in St. Louis. But I do feel like this space does energize you a little bit more, just with the level of expectations, the level of winning, being ready to win in a mode to win now. And it's not only from, I like to win.
Mm.
I like to compete. I like to win. And I like everyone pulling in the same direction. And when I say everyone, I mean not only the players in the clubhouse and not only the coaches, the people in the dugout, but as a fan base, as a front office, as everyone involved with the whole organization. And when I say organization, I mean that's from top to bottom. Everyone that is a part of it is pulling in the direction of winning. So that does energize me. I don't know how much longer I'm going to do this. So that also energizes me, because it's like, you know, I still feel strong and I feel like I'm as good as I've ever been. So yeah, I definitely do feel energized. I love picking up a baseball. I love playing with the baseball, flipping it up. I love throwing the baseball. I love talking about pitching. I do love talking about pitching. I love to, like, just get in pitching conversations, and I do like that, and I like when people make me think a little bit differently, but also, like, I enjoy, like, when I make somebody think a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do enjoy that. I really do. You know, and then with my kids and my family around, like, they still love it, which is huge for me, for sure. They still love it, and they love being around, but they also like baseball. You know, they like playing wiffle ball and doing those things. So they think it's cool, right? Like, I mean, my little kids, and they think it's like a really – they think it's awesome. They think it's cool, and it is. And I think it's like the older you get and the longer you play this game, if you can just keep that perspective, I think the better off you are. And then having kids, and especially two boys, and having them kind of grow up, like, it does kind of like re-energize you, but it also like takes you back to being a kid a lot of times. So like being able to see that and see them, it just kind of it does kind of simplify it, right? Like, we are playing a game, and I've just learned over the course of my life and in definitely my career, like, what I have to do in order to be the best I can at the game. I like games. I like games in general. I like competing, and I like games. This is just fortunate enough I've been able to play one for a career. So I do like all of those things.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So you, it sounds like also you talk about you don't know how much longer you'll play. You go, you're at the point now where it's year to year to year to year just because of all the things you talked about. I mean, it's the kid stuff is awesome. There's also the other side of it, being around the kids. Mm-hmm. There's all of it. But you're in a, I guess what I'm saying is that you're in a great spot because you're good. Mm-hmm. You still enjoy it. And you have that opportunity to say, well, it's okay. Just go year to year to year.
Correct.
Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. You talk about games and the hobbies, and this is the last thing. I appreciate your time. I mentioned that you're an arborist.
Correct.
Things that I never thought I'd say.
Yes, I am.
All right. Take me in an arborist, in case people don't know, is a person who likes trees, studies trees.
Yeah.
Tell me, I don't even know where to begin with this, so tell me a little bit about that.
I don't know. I love being outside. So let's just start there, right? I love being outside. I love being out in nature. I love like just laying on the ground and like watching the wind blow through the trees. Like that's just, there's just such a calming thing to that. And then, I don't know, when I was younger, you know, I just remember, kind of how I grew up. I grew up outside. I grew up just on my bare feet outside, going out and playing and coming back in whenever you come back in, right? So I've always been around that. I grew up climbing trees, and then I got into, I got a little bit into like landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed that part of it. And then I was like, oh, okay. So now I enjoy decorating.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can like decorate with trees, right? Like you can landscape your yard or do something and you can do it with trees and you can like, I don't know. I like all that. And then I got into like, I love the idea of like a tree too. Like what you see on the outside is, you know, you see the bark and then the branches and the leaves and everything. But what you don't see is like how their roots grow. That's very fascinating to me. Also too, like they live a great life, right? Like they see a lot of things. It's trees, it's grass. I'm into grass. I'm into like different cuts of grass. I just like that stuff.
That's,
you know,
cool.
And then I've gotten into it. I like it. You know, then you learn about like the trees and land and all that stuff. It kind of like goes with it, right? Like in the spring, you get all the beautiful colors, and then in the summer and then in the fall, you get all the beautiful colors too. So then you can like decorate with them or like, you know, just kind of like, that's just like the natural cycle of life to me, right? Of like, and they see it all, right? They go through it. I don't know, it might sound weird, but I think they're just very fascinating. And I like wood. Mm. So I love wood. So
do you have
like
a favorite tree?
I don't necessarily have a favorite tree. It kind of goes back and forth. I have trees that I don't like. I have trees that, yeah, I have like, I call them shit trees. I have trees that I don't like, and I got a farm in Tennessee now, and there's a whole bunch of Bradford pears on this thing.
What is it, Bradford pears?
Yeah.
Oh, like, I like it.
They're like so invasive, and they just kind of like take over.
Oh, I thought it's my last name, Bradford. But you know, it's good that you identify the bad trees, right?
Yeah, they're just invasive and they're no good. They just kind of take over for all the good. So I'm like been in the process, the last 2 years, I've been in the process of clearing those out and planning like reestablishing like hard oaks and maples and, there's some walnut trees on there and some, sycamore trees, like those type, because it's got some water around it. Then, you know, different trees grow in different areas. Like, these trees are weird to me, but they're also kind of cool.
Did you ever go, like, the redwoods or anything like that?
I have. Those are amazing. That looks... Those are crazy. Yeah, I have. I mean, if you think about it, like, trees are... they go with the culture of the... Wherever you're at, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it just is.
I had a willow tree fall on my house when I was a kid.
Like a weeping willow?
Yeah, weeping willow.
Those things are awesome.
I know. And it was so sad because, like, to have a weeping willow when you look outside.
Beautiful.
And then in the local paper, yeah. It's landing on my house. Did you ever go to, like, conventions or, like...
No, not anything like that. Yeah. I mean, what you're talking about,
I'm getting interested in that.
I mean, I'm not, like... I guess the root of it is just nature.
Yeah.
I guess that's the root of it.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm, like, obsessed with all these things. I guess just the more that I've found myself, like, in nature, like, that's a thing, right? Like, they're in nature. So just the root of it is me enjoying trees. Yes, I do. But I also enjoy stumps, and I enjoy rocks, and I enjoy grass, and I enjoy all of those things, right? So I guess the root of it is I enjoy nature, and that's like a big part of nature.
Again, there's something to draw from that, comparing to a baseball season, comparing to life, comparing to where you're going, everywhere you go. You just mentioned here, like different trees here in New England, like those trees. I don't know. I'm just talking about.
Yeah, I mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I appreciate your time. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I enjoyed talking to Sonny Gray. He's a very, very interesting guy to talk to. Speaking of another interesting guy to talk to, Wilson Contreras. Wilson Contreras, who obviously played with Sonny in St. Louis, obviously was just traded to the same team in the Red Sox, but completely different people, but still veterans who know what's what. And as we said at the outset of this podcast, Wilson Contreras is a guy who knows what's what when it comes to how to approach a clubhouse, a team, being a teammate, all of that. How to be a leader. So I just wanted to get a taste of how Wilson viewed all of that. And I think that in this, what you're about to hear, this will be a pretty good one. As he said, it takes balls to be a major league player. And sometimes that includes just turning your back on maybe doing a jersey exchange. All right, I don't know. I don't want to be old man yelling at clouds, but I love it. I love the fact that when anytime I say, hey, I don't like that guy, or I that guy is a pain in the ass, he's on the other team, and then he plays with him, and he says, that guy's awesome, then there you go. There you go. All right, here's Wilson Contreras. Again, at BB Isn't Boring, at BB Isn't Boring. All right. Go to bbisn'tboring.com if you want to buy some cool stuff. All right, here you go. Here's Wilson Contreras. One of the things that when I talk to people like about your competitiveness and like how teams view that competitiveness is, have you always been that way of like, okay, listen, it's us against you. Like, we're here to win, and this is it.
No, it's not against anybody. It's against everybody.
Yeah.
I think, so it's always been part of the way I play. Sometimes it's been taken wrong because I played really hard. I played mind games. I played just to win.
America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at AmericaCures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
Always finding a way to win, helping and to help the team in any way I can. Even if I need to get hit by pitch or get on base or something like that, I'll do anything.
But that's my point. I think it's an ultimate compliment where people say, hey, listen, I might not, like, I look across, I might not want to play against him, but I want to play with him.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that's the whole point. People might not like me when they play against me, but when we're on the same team, it's a whole different view. That doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. I'm always looking to get in trouble. I'm just a team player and a winning player.
I think it's a great compliment, to be honest with you.
No, I know. It's like I'm proud of what I do. I'm proud of what I've been doing. This year's the 10th year of my career, and I've been in the MLB for a reason. I've never been sent back down to AAA for a reason, and I take pride in everything that I do and everything that I can. But yeah, I think it's a good compliment for me.
Have you had guys tell you that? Said, oh man, I'm playing with you. It's different.
Yeah. Plenty of guys. I got that when I worked with the Cubs. I got a few guys like pre-signing that they used to say, hey, I really hate playing against you, but now they were in the same side.
Yeah.
I really like you as my teammate. Same thing happened in St. Louis, and same thing happened here in Boston. So I think it's good.
When you get here, it's you immediately like, okay, guys, this is us.
Yeah.
And I think this is another thing that you can tell younger players, right? Because now it's jersey exchanges and everything else, but there has to be like, it's us against them, right?
Yeah, I think it doesn't matter where you play. Just I think the mindset is that try to beat anyone and everyone.
Mm.
The mindset is trying to win every game and play as hard as we can day in and day out. That doesn't have to change anywhere you play.
Mm.
I think it's just bringing that same mindset every single day is the toughest part, because we know we play 162 games.
Mm.
And sometimes you might get lost in one of those days where you're not feeling well, but that's the toughest part for me. That it's like, bring the same energy every day. Not everybody can do it.
Do you think that the way baseball is, that there has to be more of what we're talking about? Because, you know, like, it's you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it could be right, it could be wrong, but right now with so many restrictions, you don't know what you're going to get. But
yeah.
I think we need to play with the edge.
Yeah.
Because you're in the big leagues, you're competing with the best. You're competing with the best in the world in baseball. And you have to feel proud of what you do. You have to have some proud of what you accomplish. And you have to have some balls to play in the big leagues for sure.
And the last thing is, we talk so much about leadership. And leadership doesn't have to be, okay, everybody, I'm the leader, right? It's coming in, doing things. Like, how do you view sort of being a leader on the team? Because I think clearly already you're a leader on the team. So.
I think, like I said, I come here every single day with the same energy. It doesn't matter if it's a night game or a day game. I try to be as professional as I can in the clubhouse. Try to create a relationship as much as I can in the clubhouse. And a lot of young guys see the way we work in the gym. A lot of guys see what we do in the training room, what we do post-game, pre-game, post-games. How we handle our defense, or practicing, or workouts. I think you can lead by example, but also you also can lead by expressing anything that you see, anything that you think it could be better, or even if some guy's doing something wrong, you just pull him aside and then you share what you're seeing and try to make the guy understand that there's better ways to do. But yeah, it's just like has to be the same. You have to be the same person every day.
And pick your spots, and
for sure,
you don't have to get on a stool in the middle of the room.
There's always time and place. I don't think I ever done that. Like, just stand on a stool and say, "Hey, listen, everybody." I really try to be as quiet as I can. And if there's a team meeting and somebody wants me to speak, I'll speak.
Yeah.
But I'm not a guy that's going to yell in the middle of the clubhouse, "Hey, this is the way we can do stuff." But no, that's not me. But I think. We have a really good leadership with Trevor here, Jaron.
Yeah.
Just leading the young guys before I got here, and they're doing a great job. And I'm happy to see the chemistry they already created here and the energy all around.
Awesome, man.
It's a Season 2 playoff race with TGL, presented by SoFi, Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern, Jupiter Links versus Boston Common Golf, Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, Los Angeles Golf Club versus New York Golf Club, Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, The Bay Golf Club versus Jupiter Links. Keep up, it's golf. Watch on ESPN, ESPN2, and the ESPN app.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.